I don't always do it, but I try to just kind of let God lead and kind of get out of the way. You know, and that's kind of hard. I don't know if that's hard for you sometimes, but it's hard for me. And so the Lord's placed a word on her heart, and it's been confirmed a number of different ways. And so we've asked her to share with you this morning, and so she's going to be bringing the word. And so would you all stand up? We can just pray for her. Amen. You could stretch forth your hand kind of as in a way of agreement if you're comfortable doing that. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and thank you for what you've already done. We just sense your presence in this place, and not in a weird kind of way, but we just know you're here, and we thank you that that you manifest your presence in the church through us individuals, not just in the building, but through us. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, that you would speak forth your word. Holy Spirit, you're the one who gives these gifts. You're the one who motivates us in them. You're the one who gives us the ability to hear what you want to say. And so we just say right now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak and that you give us ears to hear. We thank you for this vessel and thank you for using her in the way that you do and the way that you will. And we're grateful to be a part of it. And so, God, we ask your blessings on this time together in your word. It's in Jesus' name. And everyone said, would you give someone a high five and have a seat, please?
Is your green light on? No.
The green light's on, yeah.
Huh?
Yes. Is that good?
Yeah, you're good.
Melba, what you doing over there? Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for that. So I want to just share a quick story, if I can remember it right, real quick before I start. There was this young boy, and he went to school, and he was pulling out his book for school, and he noticed there was a little note inside his book, and he pulled it out, and there was like pretty writing on there with his name on it. You know, he could tell it was from a girl, and he opens it up, and he's reading it, and it says, "Oh, I can't wait to talk to you after school, and I just love to watch you. I love the way you laugh, and I love, you know, blah, blah, blah," right? All this is written on this, and then he looks down at the bottom of the note, and it says, "Love, Grandma." Perspective, right? Perspective. It changes things, right? It changes how we respond and how we react to things. And what I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart this morning was that we needed a perspective of where we are as a church in the spiritual realm right now. I feel like God's revealed that to me, and that he wanted me to share it with you so that we have the right perspective. We're aware of what's going on, and so we know how to react. Amen? Okay, so a few years ago, I had shared a vision that God had given me during worship about the mountain. You guys have heard it several times, and the different precipices sticking out of this mountain, and how the church at the time was sitting on the edge of a precipice, and God was saying that the church was in a place of complacency, not to condemn the church, but to say, "I'm calling you out of that place of complacency, and I want to bring you to the next level." And so what I want to do today is share with you, kind of zoom in on where we're at now in that process, because I believe God has been calling us up to that next level, been bringing us up to that next level, actually. And so I want to zoom in on that. And what God gave me to share this morning is just that we had a koinonia. Ladies Koinonia, give a plug for that, last week. And ladies, I just want to share with you, if you haven't been to one, or if there's any possible way you can get to one, get to one. Those Koinonias are, Koinonia means fellowship in the Lord. And it's all about sharpening each other and strengthening each other and hearing from the Lord. The purpose that we have with Koinonia is allowing women to come and have a place to use their gifts. You know, maybe you have a prophetic gift. Maybe you have a a gift, just a gift of compassion, in intercession or serving. And so Koinonia is a great place for you to practice your gift. And so that's the purpose of our Koinonias. And so last week when I was, I wanted to get there early and pray with the ladies before Koinonia. And so I pulled up and I was, you know, rushing. And I pulled up to Koinonia. I was about to get out of my car and I just had this conviction, like, you know, I hadn't even read that morning, and I didn't, what was I bringing to Koinonia? As someone with a prophetic gift, I just prayed, and I said, oh, wait a minute, Lord, I don't want to go in there empty-handed. I want to bring something, and so would you give me a word to share with these women? And I just sat in my car for a minute, and I opened up just, you know, my daily reading. I do the life journal and just read the first couple verses, and God just downloaded a word for me to share. It was awesome. And so I wasn't asked to speak at the Koinonia, but I wanted to bring something. Maybe there was someone there that I was going to talk to that needed to hear that word. So that was my perspective going in. So I went in, and the ladies, Shirley, leads our Koinonia, and she gathered the ladies together to pray, and Paulette was praying, and she was praying like you heard her this morning, praying about the new thing, and I was like, that's sounds like the word that God showed me this morning. Maybe I should share it with these ladies while we're praying. So I was like, after we prayed, I was like, can I just share something real quick that God put on my heart? And Shirley's like, no, hold that, wait a minute, not right now, you can share that later. I want you to share it with everyone, because what God had put on her heart was that all the women, that God was going to speak through all the women there, and that, she was trying to prepare a message. God was like, no, you're not sharing that. The women are going to share, and I'm going to have, you know, be speaking through the women. And so it was just an amazing time, because we had about, I don't know, between 15, 20 women there, and almost all of them had a word to share, and there was a common theme in that word. And so the confirmation in the spirit of what God was speaking was really cool. And so part of that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. Also, what I'm going to share with you is, as I share with what God put on my heart, how it fits into the confirmation of what everyone else was sharing. The Lord had given Richard and I a word from the Lord through a pastor from India last year. And it was a prophetic word. It was for us, but it was also for our church. God's been doing the work in us, and as leaders of the church, obviously that overflows to the church. And so I'm going to show you, because God revealed to me as I was sharing this word at Koinonia, how this word ties into that prophetic word given to us a year ago and how we're walking in that right now. So the word God gave me, I'll get to it. I know that was a long introduction. You're like, get to it, right? The word God put on my heart was from Mark 11. You can turn there with me if you'd like. I'm going to read the first few verses there. And this is what I read that morning. Richard and I just felt like this was not just a word for the women, but it is for the whole church. And so that's why I'm here this morning. The word was this. The word says this. Verse 1. It's about right before Jesus was when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, and he had sent the disciples ahead, and he said, as they approached Jerusalem near Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it back here. They went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing untying that colt? They spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission to take it. The Lord has need of it, is what he said. The Lord has need of it. There was this colt. It was tied, right? It was tied to the door, and it had never been ridden before. And for whatever purpose that owner had that he was using this colt for, the Lord said, go untie that. I have a new purpose for it. I'm about to do a new thing in that colt, and I have a new purpose for that colt. It needs to be untied. And what I felt like the Lord was saying to us was this. What is it that you have tied up that the Lord wants you to loose so he can start a new purpose in you? What is it that you have tied up? What old thing do you have tied up? What old purpose do you have tied up? Is it maybe a ministry that you've had in the past, a way you've been used in the past, and God's saying, that's been used that way in the past, and that was good, and that was fine, but it needs to be untied so I can use you for a new thing. So maybe you've been used in a ministry in the past. Maybe you said, God's always used me this way, and you're waiting for God to use you that way again. And God says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm not going to use you the way I used you before. I'm going to use you in a new way. Maybe it's an old pattern or maybe a tradition that you've had. I've always done things this way. And God says, you can't keep doing things that way if I'm going to use you for a new purpose this way. We had, as I was sitting in Koinonia, I actually had worn some jeans that had like holes in them, and I had sewn a patch on them. And I was like, should I really wear these? Are these appropriate to wear? Because one of the patches had kind of torn away from, it had come undone from the hole, right? And I was like, well, I'll kind of just hide it. And it was like right here. I'm like, I'll kind of just hide it and keep tucking it in. It'll be fine. And for some reason, I just really wanted to wear those jeans. And as I was sitting in Koinonia, I looked down and I saw that patch, and that verse came to mind. You guys know the verse, I'm sure. It's from Mark chapter 2. It says, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. And I was like, huh, yep. And then the Holy Spirit clicked. I'm a little slow. The Holy Spirit clicked, and I realized that goes right along with the word that God is speaking this morning. You can't put a new patch on an old garment, or it will tear away. God wants to do a new thing, and we can't take that old thing with us into the new. We were having dinner this past week with some friends, and one of them shared how God had clearly spoken to them that they had been used to lead a ministry in the past, and God had clearly spoken to them, I'm not going to use you in that way anymore. I'm going to use you in a new way. It's time to let someone else walk in that ministry, and I'm going to use you in a new way. And they actually even used this verse from Mark 2 about the new wine and the new wineskins. And I thought, okay, God, you're speaking. And that was some confirmation. So I believe God wants to do a new thing with us. But there's some things that need to be untied in order for us to do the new thing. I had a friend actually send me a text this morning and said, I think this word is for you. And this is the verse she sent me this morning, Isaiah 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Shall you not be aware of it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen. So in Mark 11, he says he's going to do this new thing. And it says, let them know the Lord has need of it, and immediately they will send it. And immediately was the other thing in there. First of all, we need to untie the old. And second of all, we need to immediately obey. How important it is to immediately obey. But we can't do that unless we're aware of what God's doing. So So as I was sitting there at Koinonia, and I'm thinking about all this, I'm thinking about the prayer that Paulette had prayed about God doing a new thing. She kind of shared a little bit this morning about that. And I'm thinking about this verse that God put on my heart about going to untie the colt. And God brought to remembrance a word that God had spoken to us last year, a prophetic word, and it was for us. God has been working it in us the last year and a half, and he has been working it in the body. And I've seen, I've heard a lot of warfare going on in our body. People have been going through some difficult things lately, and I just feel like God wants us to have a perspective of what exactly is going on. Why is all this warfare going on? What's going on? The word that was given a year ago by this pastor from India, he didn't know us, never met us before. He had given a word to, it was a pastor's luncheon, so he had given a word to the pastors at this luncheon about the word that God had put on his heart, and he's moves in the prophetic. He's very prophetic, and God speaks through him frequently. And so as I look back at the word that he had given us that day, the first verse that he had spoken was Mark 2. Don't put a new patch on an old garment. And I said, okay, I'm getting it. I'm starting to get it, right? And this is the verse that he said, Deuteronomy 11:10, the land you are about to enter is not like you've experienced before. I'm taking you into an experience that your past has never prepared you for. When you move into a new experience, you can't go with the old mindset. I have a new provision for you. You need to be open to the way I want you to move, which might not be how you expect it. We can spoil present opportunities with our past experiences or traditions. And we need to have a promised land mentality to move into the new. God wants to provide for us in a way he hasn't provided before. He's bringing a new system into our life. And when you're willing to adjust your system, then he'll be able to work for you. He'll open up rain and pour on you. Responsibility will begin to shift off of you and onto him. So if God can change your perspective, you will live in that power. The harvest is ripe. This is the perspective that we need. That's what he shared with all of the pastors. And then he looked, he had a word for some of the pastors, and he looked at Richard and I, and he said, he had a word for us. And he said, you're in a very challenging place right now. A delicate place, a unique place. But God is going to turn that place into a place of open heavens. Many times you've stood in an area and you've looked to where God is taking you, but you don't see the means on how to get there. But God is going to provide, even in that difficult and challenging place, God is providing the means. He's linking where you are now to where you're going. He's linking where you are to the end result, to your vision, and you're going to walk in that. There's going to be access to places you have never had access before. Amen? God is going to show you that every challenge is going to be overcome with his peace and his victory. Not only his victory, he said he just really sensed that God was saying that God was going to bring peace in every challenge. Peace knowing that when it comes into your life, you already know that God has given you the victory. And then he went on to say, you know what's funny? And what God put in his, in the vision God gave him was when Jesus was entering Jerusalem. And he said, when Jesus was entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, that all the people were putting down the palm branches. And he said that was something that the Romans would do when a warrior would come back victorious from a battle. When he had won the battle, they would put the palm branches down and they would sing. And in that way, they were celebrating the victory that they had. And he said, so when Jesus was walking in on this colt, when he was walking in to Jerusalem on that Sunday, what they were doing is they were celebrating the victory before Jesus even went to the cross. And he said what the word he felt like God was giving to us was, God wants you to know that peace is coming. Yes. He wants you to know that as you praise, you are going to enter into Jerusalem celebrating your victory before the battle even begins. He says the new thing is going to happen. What you've been praying about, the change and the newness that you've been praying about, God is going to bring it. But God is going to bring it in a much larger way, in a bigger scope. God is going to bring it. And he says that he has reserved the best for last. There is a reason he's not released it yet, and that's because he has been preparing you. He's been creating in you a hunger for the holy. That way, when he pours it out, it's going to overflow, and nothing is going to be lost in the overflow. In Jesus' name. And so this is where God's shown me that we're at right now. As we kind of zoom in on that vision he gave us 2 years ago where he's bringing us to the next level. Before we reach the resurrection, what do we have to go through? The cross. Thankfully, Jesus already died on the cross for us. And like this word said, when we get his perspective and we start walking in what he has for us, that the pressure's not on us anymore. It's on God, right? But there's things that happen before that resurrection can happen. There's a death that happens. There's brokenness that happens. There's warfare that happens before that resurrection comes, right? And this is where God has shown me that our church is in. We're walking through that week before the resurrection. And what God wants to say to us is, praise me now that I see and I know what you're going through. But I also see that there's a resurrection coming. And as you're walking through, praise me now in the victory. And as you praise me in the victory, you will have that peace. And you'll be able to walk through with strength and with endurance. First Peter 4:2 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. And James 1:2-4 says, Count it all joy. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Count it all joy, this trial that you're going through. For the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be complete, lacking nothing. And that's the thing, as we praise and we let endurance have its perfect work. In other words, yes, there's warfare going on. Yes, the enemy is attacking. But there's some things that we need to ask. You know, the first weapon in our warfare in Ephesians chapter 6 is the belt of truth, right? And so there's some things that we need to ask. That belt of truth breaks through that warfare. Because when you expose the truth, when you bring the truth to light, then the darkness can't hide. The enemy can't hide. His tactics can't be hidden any longer, and we'll know how to battle. And without truth, then there's no healing. There's no victory without truth. And so the truth, that belt of truth, is what is the truth in this situation? We need to know the truth that's going on in our situation. And it might be that you have a part in it. It might be that this difficult time you're going through is because of a lack of character. Maybe it's because of a lack of obedience to a word you know God gave you. And so we need to speak truth. God, I know I've fallen short. I know you asked me to do this and I didn't do it. Forgive me, God. Give me strength to do what you've called me to do. I know my character has fallen short in this area. I don't want to just rub this off like, oh, just get this warfare out of my life. I want to embrace the sufferings of Christ so that I can walk in victory. So God, how, change me, change this part of my character. That's hard to do. That's hard to do because it hurts sometimes, right? It hurts. But God, don't let me be the same. Untie, let me, let me be loose, untie me, allow me to change, allow me to get to that next level. And I can't do it if I'm going to keep doing the same pattern over and over again. I need to let God do that work through that walk of suffering to the resurrection, or there won't be a resurrection, right, if I don't let that work happen. That doesn't mean let the enemy have his way if there's warfare, because it may not have anything to do with you. It may just be that the enemy knows that you're a threat and he's going to throw all kinds of stuff at you, and you just need to stand firm in your faith and say, Jesus has the victory already. And no matter what you throw at me, what happens when the enemy steals something from you, he's got to return double. And so stand in that truth. Stand in that truth, but don't overlook it. Don't try to push it back. I don't want to deal with it. Because if we don't bring that truth to light, we're going to stay tied to that door. And God wants to loose it this morning. He wants to do that new thing. Will you let him? At the Koinonia, our sister Patty said, she has a prophetic gifting as well, and she said God has been speaking to her three words, and those three words are joy, fire, and new. And I said, amen. That's just what God's been speaking. Joy. Praise him. Take joy. Praise him for the victory before it even happens. You're in the middle of some warfare this morning. You're in the middle of some trials this morning. Start praising him for the victory. The fire. The fire refines, right? Isn't that the analogy God puts in there, that as the silver is refined, right? The fire refines us. It burns off those things that are not righteous. It burns off those things that are not pleasing to God. It burns off those things that are hindering us from being able to live that abundant life that God desires for us. And new. A new thing is coming. The new thing is coming. Let it come. Again, God says, behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not be aware of it? We need to be aware of where we are, and I believe this is where we are. We're in this walk. But here's the hope. Here's the hope. God is in it because he's doing a new thing. And we have to keep our eyes fixed on the prize and not lose heart, but let endurance have its work so that we can get to that next level as a church. And as individuals, because our church isn't going to get to the next level unless each individual is getting to that next level. Because that's what the church is. It's not a building, right? It's made up of individuals. And as each of us, as individuals, allow God to do that work. And here's the thing. As we allow God to do the work on the outside, you know, when we're asking God, do this work, you know, in this situation, in these circumstances, do this work. What happens is God's bigger than that. And he says, he's going to do that work on the outside, but be aware it's going to start on the inside. Because I'm not just going to fix the outside. What's important to me is what's in here. What's in here. I know, God knows that there's a place that he has built for you that one day you'll get to enjoy, for those that know him and love him. There's crowns that have been stored up for you. There's a mansion he's been building for you. And in the long perspective, he knows that no matter what you go through, you're going to receive a prize be above and beyond what you can think or imagine. And our temporary things that we go through, they won't even matter to us then. They matter to us now. They're big to us now. And so they matter to God. But he knows what's in store for you in that day. And so we need to keep our eyes on that. And we need to say, God, give me the strength to untie that thing. Give me the discernment. What is that thing, God, that you want me to untie? What is that old pattern, that old habit? What's the new thing you want to do? And God, give me eyes to see what you're doing and where I'm at, because perspective changes things, doesn't it? And so let's have a perspective. Let's have God's perspective where we're at and not fix our eyes on the things that we can see, but on the things that we can't see, what is unseen. And let him grow our faith and let him bring us into that new thing where victory waits, not just for living grace, for you. Amen? Amen. Yeah. You know,